Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. I'm a homeschool father of five. I raise our kids out here in Eastern Plains, Colorado, and I have really been homeschooling since the early 1990s. And my parents were homeschooling us all the way back to, I'm going to say, 1967, 1968 in Portland, Oregon, which happens to be where this story kicks in. Because, friends, Oregon is now looking at scrapping graduation requirements now. The public schools in Oregon are finally coming to the conclusion that there should be no graduation requirements. In fact, apparently the Senate Democrats in Oregon all voted to scrap graduation requirements, at least for the next couple of years. This is the first time, as far as I know, ever in public school history in which the public schools have admitted that they're just not going to be able to pull off any kind of graduation requirements.
So you get a diploma and it means less than nothing. It meant nothing before, but now it means less than nothing.
I ran into a family, I'm going to say, about 10 years ago that had been through the public school system in Littleton, Colorado here. And they were going to homeschool their kids. Well, why are you going to homeschool your kids? I said, well, we graduated from high school in the Littleton School District, and neither of us could read. We were thinking that we're having children. We're going to have children. Apparently, she was pregnant at the time. And they went down to the library and got, you know, the Dr. Seuss books with, you know, the big 14-point font stuff. And they couldn't read. They couldn't read it. They couldn't read it to their kids. So they thought, well, you know, we'd like to be able to read. So they asked some folks in church to help them, and these folks in church helped them to read. And so they decided to homeschool. They figured after 12 years and $300,000 of funding, somehow public schools were incapable of teaching them how to read. So, you know, why not do it yourself? I guess that's their conclusion. But here in Oregon, the Senate Democrats say, we're just jettisoning these graduation requirements. That's it. We're not going to even have any requirements in the state of Oregon. It, by the way, it is a free education, though. You get a free education. There are no graduate requirements, but we'll do nothing for you. But here, it's free.
Yeah, here it is. Yeah, let me give you something that's worth nothing.
For free?
For free.
That's a good deal.
Yeah.
Is that a good deal?
I wouldn't think so.
Well, and here's one more principle that I think we need to consider as families, as parents. As Christian parents, it's called the turkey principle, and it has something of a covenantal concept to it. That is, human beings flock. Human beings, you know, run in groups. Human beings affect each other in community, whether it be family, church, community, what have you. Here's the turkey principle. Have you ever heard this before, Bill? It's hard to soar like eagles when you're hanging out with turkeys.
Forced to walk with turkeys.
Yeah. Have you ever heard that principle? It has a covenantal concept to it. But let's unpack that for just a moment for our listeners. It's hard to soar like eagles when you're hanging out with turkeys. And friends, what we're talking about is that we tend to be like the people we hang out with. Now, you'll find that throughout the book of Proverbs
as
well.
Yeah, there might be a proverb about that.
Companion of fools will be destroyed, and, you know, that kind of thing. But, and here's what tends to happen in American public schools. It's called the LCD. Have you ever heard of the LCD? Comes up in math, the lowest common denominator. The lowest common denominator tends to direct human society, especially socialist schools.
Yeah. We sink to the lowest common denominator, is the common saying.
That's right. And so it's really hard to soar like eagles
when you're running
when you're hanging out with the LCDers. And I'm not degrading any particular person. I'm just simply saying, when you've got a system that morally, intellectually, academically, spiritually has achieved the lowest possible common denominator, don't be surprised if your children are flocking with the birds of a feather, flocking together. Don't be surprised, especially when your children are impressionable, or especially if your children are incapable of what I would call the 2 Corinthians 10 mandate, and that is the ability to cast down imaginations in every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. If your children aren't capable of defending the faith and exercising their apologetics and they're self-conscious of their own faith, and not just their own worldview, but their ability to contradict others and to say, hey, let's cast down these imaginations. If they're incapable of doing that at 7 or 8 or 9 or 12 years of age, then friends, just remember that the turkey principle has even more import in such cases. Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations broadcast.
Ever since the creation of the Garden of Eden, Satan has been working his hardest to erase the knowledge of God and seduce the creatures made in God's image to think that they are the center of the universe. One look at today's society and you see his progress. Humanistic thought has inundated our culture, and we can trace its roots directly back to the classroom and the textbooks we're setting in front of our kids. That's why every Christian homeschool parent should have a curriculum that's not only rock solid academically, but most importantly will point students back to their Creator as the source of all wisdom and knowledge, and to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. If you've been struggling to find such a curriculum, look no further. Here at Generations, we've spent over 15 years developing our Christian discipleship curriculum to help Christian homeschool parents like you pass on the faith to your children by teaching a God-centered view of life and integrating the Bible into every lesson. Our goal is to not only help you meet your students' academic needs, but also to assist you in discipling your children for generations to come. So get started today with our Christian discipleship curriculum and watch your children marvel, learn, and mature as they embark on a God-focused learning adventure to discover more about the world around them and the one who made it all. You can learn more about our curriculum resources and pick up our newly released fifth grade curriculum pack today at generations.org/curriculum. That's generations.org/curriculum.
We are back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you, and Bill Jack from Worldview Academy also with us today. And I want to get back into the Pacific Northwest in just a moment, Bill. We're going to look at the Free Methodists and what's happening with their school up in, I think it's Seattle, yes. Washington. And
Seattle. We used to do a camp at Seattle Pacific at Worldview Academy. Leadership camps would use their facility.
Okay.
And they weren't real happy with us.
Yep. Well, but, they're not happy with Christianity at this point, but we're going to get to that in just a moment. The Methodists are already breaking up into, what, three denominations. It's exploding right now.
They're splintering.
Yeah, just like all the other denominations.
You know, I was raised Methodist, right?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
I did.
Got saved in a Methodist church.
And my mother was as well. Do you know that? My mother was raised in a Methodist church, yeah. And it was a left-wing kind of thing. And it wasn't a healthy situation at all for my mom. Thankfully, she came to know the Lord Jesus Christ in some kind of college thing later on. But, the Methodist denomination is exploding into the more conservative global group. No surprise there. The Africans aren't embracing homosexuality and the things that have utterly destroyed the Western world. But, yeah, they're exploding over whether men sodomizing each other is a good or bad idea.
As if that has to be debated.
That may be a little crass, but, Bill, I think it's time to just make it plain. Does that make sense?
Right.
Can you believe this? I mean, it seems just extraordinary that so-called Christians are dividing over whether men should sodomize each other. Now, the issue, of course, is whether God's law has any authority or import in modern Christianity at all. I mean, that's the question. Autonomy or theonomy? That is, self-law or God's law? That's the question. It's the major question of the day. It's unpopular to admit this kind of thing, but this is obvious, my friends. The question is, did Jesus came to save us from transgressing God's laws or not? That's the question. Wouldn't you say that's a pretty core question, Bill? That's about as core as you can get.
It's foundational.
Now, I realize that God's law is the most hated subject among many Christians, but hence, that's why all this is happening. The question remains, did Jesus Christ, the Son of God, come to save us from transgressing God's laws or not? Now, this is the major issue of the day. It is the gospel issue of the day that is dividing the whole church all around the world right now. And here's the significant story today from the Seattle Times. This Free Methodist College, evidently this is the Free Methodist Church, and as you mentioned, Bill, it's a conservative denomination still. Is it still to this day?
Well, they were, but They are slipping rapidly. Free Methodists broke from the main Methodist church during the Civil War, and the Free Methodists were against slavery.
Okay.
And so they tended to be much more conservative than mainline Methodists.
All right. So this old Free Methodist College, Seattle Pacific, is now in the news over this. Now, this is the key, and it's very important. People need to understand what's going on here. Seattle Pacific University faculty, that is the professors, the teachers,
right?
They voted a no confidence in leadership after the board of the same college upheld a Christian viewpoint concerning LGBT or homosexuality. Now, that's what's happened. Now, this comes after the president of the college resigned. The Christian college is blowing up right now. That's what's happening. But the Seattle Pacific University faculty members, they voted a no confidence vote. And evidently it was something like a 73% in favor of condemning the biblical approach to homosexuality.
And another 13% abstained from the vote.
Meaning about an 86% were in favor of
right.
putting the kibosh on anything biblical in relating to the issue of homosexuality. Now, folks, remember this. The faculty of these colleges are always going to be more progressive or regressive than the board in the same Christian college. That's the way it works in this business, my friends. That's the way it works. The faculty will always be orders of magnitude more regressive or anti-biblical in their position than the board of the same Christian colleges. Now, remember, the Wheaton Record published a poll for Wheaton College out in Illinois. And this poll revealed that 41% of Wheaton faculty and 43% of Wheaton administration supported the Obamacare legislation. The Record also published a poll showing that 60% of Wheaton faculty voted for Barack Obama. So, friends, just remember, this is where red state Christian evangelical parents send their kids. This is where they send their kids. Also, this is recent. This is Calvin College. This is recent. This is as of a month ago. Nearly 150 professors and staff sent a letter opposing the CRC's report on sexuality, which, by the way, was weak on homosexuality. We did an entire program dedicated to this subject. They wanted to allow for, you know, some kind of a homosexual inborn trait that's acceptable and cannot be reversed or should not be reversed. So again, the CRC position on homosexuality is very weak. But these professors didn't think it was pro-homosexual enough. So that's about a third of Calvin's faculty that was, you know, concerned that the CRC is not supportive enough of homosexuality. And that's just over the last month or two.
And yet parents are continuing to support these institutions by sending their students there and paying tuition. You get what you deserve as a result of that. So my advice to parents is ask not just for what the brochure says, but ask for what their doctrinal position is when you investigate an institution of higher learning for your student. Not just that, but visit it and quiz those professors, quiz the deans, quiz the university prof. You're spending the money. You don't go in with your hat in hand going, hey, can I talk to you? You go in and demand. I want to see the textbooks. I want to see what your doctrinal position is on origins. I want to see what your doctrinal position is on marriage. I want to see what your doctrinal position is on abortion. And I want to know that the faculty have signed off on this so that they are accountable.
Friends, the liberal arts college, the Christian liberal arts college, The entire system behind it is rotten.
Yeah, it's dead. It's dead. And we continue to sacrifice our children on the altar of higher education in hopes that it will help them throughout life. And all it's going to do is hamstring them at best and totally cut off their legs and ask them to run a marathon at worst.
Folks, the PhD required to teach at a Christian liberal arts college is the PhD program that involved ideological training in a secular liberal arts program. That's how you get to be a professor. You have to go through the humanist liberal arts ideological training
to be certified
in a respected institution in which the humanist, materialistic, man-centered, anti-God-centered, epistemologic, self-conscious, materialist, anti-supernaturalist worldview is inculcated over a period of many, many years, and then these guys get their PhDs, and then they will teach at a Christian liberal arts college. Remember, the whole system is geared towards making sure each new generation of professors cranked through the liberal arts colleges are programmed to be 50% more progressive or regressive as they were 20 years ago. It's a self-perpetuating, telescoping, intensifying apostasy. And now the liberal to conservative ratio is 5-1, according to the Higher Education Research Institute at UCLA. In 1990, this is the same survey that went on for like 30 years. In 1990, 42% of professors called themselves liberals. Now it's 60%, far, far more liberal than it's ever been. Now, when a professor calls themselves liberal, that means that they are far left Marxist liberal. That's what they are. And that ratio has gone from 42% to 60% since 1990. And by far, that's the majority, friends. It's far worse than it was 25 years ago. We're looking at a 50% increase on the percentage of those professors referring to themselves as liberal Marxists, up to 60% now. By far the majority, per the Higher Education Research Institute at UCLA, and the Econ Journal Watch study found that the Democrat to Republican registered professors was now 11.5-1. And for the younger professors, Bill, it's 23-1.
Oh.
So what does this mean? What this means is that the entire system is guaranteed, programmed, to be sure that your children will be the bluest of the blue by the year 2030. Now, why is this happening? Because the universities set the direction of the nation. Because the churches do not set the direction of the nation. The pastors on the boards of these Christian colleges, they don't have any influence to speak of. Of course they don't have influence to speak of. They're just figureheads on these boards. But the whole system is guaranteed to produce an increasingly Marxist, progressively Marxist, anti-God perspective, and that's why the apostasy. That's why the entire nation is an apostasy. That's why the entire Western world has become an apostate post-Christian world. That's why, hey, the Christian morality standard is pretty much at the caboose of the entire cultural train at this point because of what has happened in the universities, the Christian colleges, over the last 200 to 300 years. The people generally ignore the pastors and they send their kids off to universities to get indoctrinated and discipled for 4 long years by liberal skeptics, atheists, and agnostics. And don't forget the pastors are usually trained in the same universities. So red state families almost always want to send their kids to blue state universities, and then they're shocked when their kids turn out blue and their cities turn blue and their states turn blue. They go, what happened? All I did was send my kid off to a blue college. That's just the way it works, friends. Wake up and smell the napalm in the world of the world views. That's what's happening now.
When I was a kid, there used to be a deficiency in newborns, and they would come out and they would lack oxygen, and they would be called blue babies. And it was deadly, okay, if it were not treated. And what we have now are just blue children and blue college students. And that's because they can't breathe the Word of God. Because they can't breathe liberty, because they can't breathe truth, because they can't breathe grace. They're being smothered with secularism.
Bill, do you think we can fix Seattle Pacific?
No.
Is it fixable? Are we going to fix Wheaton College this way?
No.
And I think there's a possibility.
No. No, Kevin. That is like putting Band-Aids on hemorrhaging elephants.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, okay, did the founders think they could fix Harvard? No. What they did is they went out and established what?
Yale.
Yeah. Did the founders think they could fix Yale?
Mm.
No, they went out and established, was it Dartmouth?
Princeton, Dartmouth.
Princeton, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So no, it's not worth the effort. It is worth the effort to go and establish other ways of education. And that's one reason that the Worldview Bridge Year program exists. WorldviewBridgeYear.com is to train Christians in that year after graduation from high school before they hit college or their career path to get them grounded in a biblical worldview so that they can go out and they can thrive in a secular culture that is seeking to smother them, that they can breathe.
It's time to think out of the box on higher education. And, man, the bridge year and discipleship programs, mentorship, et cetera, at-home programs in which kids can get a degree. There have been a lot of various options. But let me just talk about some mistakes made to get to where we are with Seattle Pacific. I mean, you know, my heart goes out to the pastors on the board of the Seattle Pacific College. And these pastors in the Methodist Church are just watching all of their colleges go to seed, whether it be Calvin College, Wheaton College, or Seattle Pacific. I mean, we're seeing all of them going to seed. Well, maybe a few exceptions. But, I mean, if there are exceptions, it's like the 1% of Christian colleges. That would be the exception. But here's the thing. The mistakes we made were this. Number one, the worldview, the ethical view, the basic religion taught in American liberal arts universities has been wrong for over 100 years. Arguably all the way back through the reintroduction of Platonic ethics at Harvard University in 1690. It goes all the way back. And of course, I detail all of the mistakes made, as much as I could find them, in my book, Epoch, the Rise and Fall of the West. But the worldview, the ethical view, the basic religion taught in American liberal arts university is just wrong. It's humanist, it's man-centered, it's materialistic, it's evolutionary, sometimes it's existential, sometimes it's transcendental. But it's when Yale and Princeton capitulated to evolution and humanist ethics in the 1870s and 1880s. And by the way, that's in my book, Epoch, as well, because I just wanted to go back to the mistakes made. For those who just don't want to make the mistakes over and over again, for those who would like to, you know, somehow salvage a little bit of the Christian faith in the 21st century, let's go back to the mistakes we made. And it was when Princeton and Yale capitulated to evolution in the 1880s and 1890s. Christian parents should never have sent their kids to secular liberal arts colleges for the last 100 years. Or even Christian liberal arts colleges that didn't respect the massive differences between a humanist worldview and a Christian worldview. So it's the secular liberal arts colleges that ruined the country. It's parents who sent their kids to secular liberal arts universities that ruined our country and ruined our churches and ruined the pastorates. And here's the second thing. Christian colleges should never have hired liberal arts teachers with degrees from secular universities. Here's the third problem. Liberal arts is wrong anyway. The whole field is wrong. Studying ungodly literary giants like the Greeks or the Transcendentalists or the post-Christian writers that don't have a strong sense of antithesis and worldview critique involved. If you're not engaging the war of the worldviews in the liberal arts classroom, then you're indoctrinating kids in the wrong philosophy, the wrong basic worldview, and they are being robbed of Christ by these false worldviews, these basic principles of the world, as Paul speaks of in Colossians 2:8. By the way, also creating psychology and sociology majors built up around a humanist anthropology. And that's what sociology and psychology was. It was always built up around a humanist anthropology developed by G. Stanley Hall, John Dewey, Freud, etc. You're studying the wrong religion. These are new humanist categories of thought and college majors that came out of the early 1900s. It was a new religion that had formed, which offered a new description of man's problems and attendant solutions versus what the Bible had said about man's problems and man's solution. Psychology and sociology was just simply bringing a different religion and describing man's problems and man's solutions differently than the way the Bible explained man's problems, man's solutions. And that's what psychology and sociology was all about. These were the new seminaries for the new temples, offering degrees in psychology and sociology and social learning theory, education theory. The new religion required systematics, course studies, seminaries put together by G. Stanley Hall. He was a visionary. Hall was a visionary. He constructed his theories along the lines of Darwinian evolutionary theories in hopes of producing what he called the Superman, and he referred to his universities as the true shrines of this spirit and nurseries of the Superman. And he was certain that the government school was more sacred than the church, quote unquote. Government schools more sacred than the church. So the idea of bringing an education major in, bringing a sociology major in, bringing a psychology major in, that all came about through a new religion called humanism, which came on like a freight train in the 1880s, 1890s, and early 20th century. The worldview was shifting in the Western world. This new religion, man was perfectible on his own efforts. He didn't need God. He didn't need the Word of God. He was certain that the government school was more sacred than the church. And Hall also introduced a thoroughly humanist system of thought in the modern American university in the form of psychology and education measures. So, see, all that needs to be tossed out. And we need to go back to God's Word. And that's the way things went for, 2,000 years, until G. Stanley Hall and the modern liberal arts university. They didn't have these measures, Bill, until the modern day, until you get to Freud, G. Stanley Hall, and John Dewey. And by the way, John Dewey was G. Stanley Hall's favorite student, so keep that in mind. I have the whole story on that, and apostate, the men who destroyed the Christian West. Well, the whole approach is wrong. What we need is a Christ-like discipleship for our children. We need to get away from the humanist model of education, where the focus is purely academic and autonomous human knowledge is supposed to be built up on human reason. We need to get away from all of that. We need a distinctly Christ-centered education in method and content. And friends, that's why we've got the Christian discipleship curriculum that we are pushing pretty hard right now through our week-long sale. But I just want to impress on people the importance of bringing a Christ-centeredness, a biblical worldview, undergirding every subject. And let's be sure that we give our children the Christian classics and the Christian way of thinking first before we introduce the non-Christians. Let's be sure that they have the ability to distinguish between what is a Christian metaphysic and a non-Christian metaphysic. What is it for man to be man-centered in his ethics? What is it to be God-centered in ethics? If we haven't trained our kids in these basic worldview concepts, we have no business giving them Shakespeare, Hemingway, Hawthorne, Mark Twain, or the rest of them. And that, of course, is why I wrote the book Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, for that reason. And that's, by the way, is also incorporated into the course Worldviews in Conflict, our literature course for the 12th grade, in which we introduce this literature and we critique it. And we teach kids how to critique the literature. Anyway, all of this curriculum available at our website, generations.org. And this week is the big sale. It will end on Friday night of this week. But everybody gets 25% off the curriculum sets and individual books as well. And $10 off the core grade packs. And that's a discount of 25 to 55% off and an additional 10% off if you purchase over $300. So that would be up to 65% off if you get over $300 worth of books. So, I mean, that's a good deal. That's about the best deal we're going to ever give you as a Generations ministry. So, friends, if you ever thought about buying anything from Generations, this is probably the week to do it. 25% off individual stuff, $10 off core grade packs, additional 10% off everything over $300. And I just heard that you get a free hardback read-aloud Christian classic, whether it be Pilgrim's Progress,
oh, cool,
the book Heidi, Swiss Family Robinson, Robinson Crusoe. So you've got a hardback Christian children's classic available as well for free. So that, I think that freebie is to anybody who buys anything. So all of that available this week at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack, and we want to invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.